Happy Thanksgiving. Glad to see many of you home and whatnot. Thank you, Bob and Selena, for sharing that. That was truly a story of God's grace and his goodness to us. And I'm sure many of you have similar stories in your own life and wherever you are this Thanksgiving season. As we come together this morning into God's Word, I want to encourage us to open up your Bibles and your copy of God's Word to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms, chapter 126, the 126th Psalm, 126. Psalm 126, and let us stand together, and I'm going to read this for us, and you would listen to God's word this morning. Hear as I read God's word in Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. As we come into your word, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us, that your spirit would move amongst us, that our hearts would be attuned to you. Father, as we hear from you, Lord, we pray that you would remind us, Lord, of the gift of Christ you have given to us, of the year you have brought us through, that whether we were celebrating victories over and over or we were in some of the lowest points in our lives, God, we know that you are good in every season and in all times. Father, remind us this morning of how we give thanks to you. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. At the top of your psalm, it reads a song of ascents. A song of ascents. And this is a category of psalms from chapter 120 to chapter 134 in this category of the songs of ascent. These are psalms that are unique, they're different, they're categorized here for a reason. Some historians say that these were festival musics, festival songs, songs that people sang on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. That the Jewish people celebrate three main festivals in a year. And as they made their trips to Jerusalem, these were songs that they would sing, songs that they would go to, songs as they ascended to Jerusalem. Imagine with me that you're a Jewish person, that you would faithfully travel to Jerusalem year after year, generation after generation, to celebrate the feast with your people. The festival season, the sea of people in every village in the outskirts would begin to make their trek to the holy city. You're amongst them and you trudge along with your children in one hand and your goat in the other, and you're walking and you're going. The journey is long, the road is dusty, and the goat is smelly. You reach close to Jerusalem and you begin the steep uphill climb to the city and then to the temple courts. You look up, and you see the temples mounded on the top of the hill of Jerusalem, and you look up and you see the sun and it's baking on your face and your sweat is dripping down your brow and you are exhausted. You resolve that you have come too far to turn back and that there is more road behind you than ahead of you. Left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot, you march on. This isn't the first time you're making the trip, and you can remember as far back as being a young child when you first started. The journey hasn't felt any shorter as you've gotten older, and year after year, you have made the trip to celebrate the festivals. You don't really remember the whole point of the journey, and even when you've gotten there, you don't remember what you're really celebrating, and you keep trudging along, though. Well, this time, you're trudging along a little differently, and they begin to sing the tune of Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captive ones of Israel, we were like those who dream. It's that time of year again, Thanksgiving. I was thinking back this past week, I was preparing, I was like, this year really went by really quickly. I think some of you guys can relate with me that we began the year normally, hopefully, and then as usual, your routine, and you're thinking it's 2017. I remember when I first started writing the tens, you know, 2010 and on, I thought, wow, this is really different. I gotta add a weird stroke between my zeros. And all of a sudden, we're at the tail end of the 2010s, right? 2017, 2018 is on at our doorstep. And this year may have been different for some of you. It might have been a challenging year. It might have been one that was filled with struggles. Others, a year of transitions, graduations, new jobs, new relationships, new life stages, new additions to your family, maybe a loss of loved one from your family as well. And much like the Jewish people, I feel like we come to Thanksgiving every year and it's just trudging along. That we take our feet and we left foot, right foot, and go to the next dinner. You eat turkey, you eat cranberry sauce, and it's another year. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, I want to remind us of how are we to give thanks to the Lord. How do we live our lives in thanksgiving to what God has done? You've heard from your sharing, your congregational sharing time, that different stories of what God's done through your life this year, and Bob and Selena, a great example of what God's done in their life this year. We celebrate that together with them. In this psalm, the psalmist reminds us of an event that happened in the Jewish people's lives. They were in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. 70 years they were exiled from their own land. 70 years, imagine 70 years of being away from here, what you consider as home. 2+ generations of people that don't know their homeland. And as they return, this is the psalm that someone crafted and wrote, reminding them of what God has done amongst them. In verse 1, it says, "When the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream." In other words, this activity, this return to Jerusalem, was so impossible that it felt like a dream. For some of us here, this year, you've gone through a year, it might have been a dream. It felt like one big dream. For others, God has done something in your life that only He could have done. And today, I want us to be reminded of how we are to give thanks, the posture in which we are to give thanks to God as we come into Thanksgiving. The first point I want us to consider is to look back and consider what the Lord has done. Look back and consider what the Lord has done. Taken from verses 1 to 3. Next slide, please. First point is the Lord did something in your life. Verse 1, it reminded us that God did something that's so impossible, that's so different, that is so unique, that is so God-given that only He could have done it. Would you consider what a moment in your life this past year that God has done something in your life that only He could have done? That you're like the Israelites, that it was like a dream that He did it to you. That you were once captive in something and now that you are freed. Today we were reminded that we were once exiled in sin and away from God. But God sent His Son Jesus that we would be called children of God, that He took us as sinners into children of God. That each month as we consider the Lord's Supper and the communion and as we come before the table, that is the movement and the action that we're reminded of. That God did something in our lives, that the Lord did something so impossible that it only could have been Him. That you and I could not have saved ourselves from sin, but Jesus, the perfect God-man, came to save us from sin. That the Lord did something in your life. The second point is we were like those who dream, and the second is that we are to celebrate that something. Look at what the Israelites say in verse 2. "Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shoutings." You ever been dumbfounded by God? I look back at my year and there are moments that I realized that there could have been no one else but God that did that. The timing was just too good. That the circumstances that needed to line up for that to happen, That's got to have been God. That someone upstairs must be looking out for you and I. That as you look back, you need to celebrate it. As we look back and consider, we see God's fingerprints through it all. And are we like the Israelites who our mouths are filled with laughter? You ever had a situation where you just had to laugh at because it was, oh man, dodged a fast one there. That God did something in your life that he filled your tongue with joyful shouting. You know, it's a shame that oftentimes in our life, and I attest to this, that the Christian walk seems to be one that we kind of dread. That it's one that is like, oh, I got to do my readings. I got to pray. I got to do this. I got to go do that. I got to do this and that. There's aspect of discipline, yes. But have you taken a moment to be joyous in the Lord, that the God has put something in your heart to be thankful for, that you celebrate it, that we give thanks for it, that God, thank you, Lord, for what you have done in my life. As we look back and consider, may you not only see the something that God has done, but may we celebrate it. The verse goes on, and it's interesting. It says next, then they said amongst the nations, this is verse 2, then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for them, that others see it, that others see your life and they can see that God has done something in your life. It could be because you're giving such a ruckus celebrating what he's done in your life, that it can't help but see that God has done something in your life. My challenge to you this morning is this: give thanks in a way that others see God. Give thanks in a way that others may see God. The last point here in this section, it says that the Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. That's verse 3. The Lord has done great things for us and we are glad. Notice the order of sequence in this verses. I thought it was really interesting that the others don't see it after you have given thanks. Right? Notice that something happened in your life, in this life, that the Jewish people was returned to Jerusalem. This is such an impossible task that they were in exile under Babylon of all people, that God made a way for them to return to their homelands. Has God done something in your life and my life that it's only he that could have done it, that others see it, that others look at your life and they say, I want what he or she has? You know, at times it might not even be something that is good. It might be your resilience, your demeanor, your joy, your endurance, your perseverance to get through a trial or a task. Or every Monday you're walking into the office and you're whistling because there's another week of work while your coworkers are just trying to get their coffee together. That God has placed something in your heart that you celebrate in such a way that others see it, that you give thanks in it the way that others would see God. As we look back and consider this year, I hope that you take a moment to do that. That this week, as you share a meal over the dining table, that it wouldn't just be awkward conversations of the food is good and that's about it. But you would give thanks in a way that others would see God. That when people talk to you, they see something different about you. That they would even ask the question, what makes them different than me? Maybe it's someone that's faced the same trial as you did this year. Maybe you were laid off from work and your coworkers, your fellow employees of this company are all facing the same trial, but you, for some reason, are facing it a little differently than others are. That you seem to be not as worried as someone else is. Would you give thanks in a way that others see God? Next slide, please. This great hymn says, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. That when you consider the work of God in your life, whether it be the impossibility that you are saved from sin, or the year that he has brought you through, or the amount of joy and things that he has blessed you with throughout this year, the abundance you celebrate at the end of this year, that you would give thanks to God in a way that others would see him. Would you sing this with me? O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Amen. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. You see, when your life is put together, when your life is in God's hands, when He is the one who drives it, you're able to sing the song, how great are you, Lord? That regardless of the circumstances, that regardless of the struggles, we know that He is good to us and He is great to us. But notice the psalm doesn't end there. He doesn't say to only look backwards and consider what He has done, but He also reminds us that we must look forward and be reminded that He can do it again. Next slide, please. Look ahead with confidence that He can do it again. Look ahead with confidence that He can do it again. Verse 4 reads, restore our captivity, O Lord. You see, they were restored in waves, the Jewish people. And even though the ones that were restored, they still had a longing in their hearts that their fellow Jewish people would be restored with them. That their plead with God is not only stop here, God, thank you for what you've given to us, but we look forward to what you will do down the road. You see, thanksgiving comes from a heart of contentment. You see, contentment for most of us is getting what we want. But may I challenge you this morning that contentment is not getting what you want, but being thankful for what you have. May I say that again? Contentment is not getting what you want, but being thankful for what you have. We just finished a series in the book of Philippians, and Paul reminded us constantly that while he was sitting in prison, that even though he was shipwrecked, that even though he was in chains, that even though he had much and he had none, and whether he was in persecution or not, he was content in the Lord. He tells us that he has the secret to joy is contentment. You see, if Paul had based his life upon getting what he wanted, he would have never been content. But he celebrated what he did have and the circumstances he was in. And mind you, he was sitting in prison in chains, persecuted by the Roman Empire. Kind of hard to give thanks to that. Most of us celebrating this Thanksgiving much, much, much differently than he did. We're not gathering in secret. We're not gathering as if we're about to be persecuted. May your contentment come from a heart of not wanting more and getting what you want, but being thankful for what you do have. You see, God provides for us continuously, he says in verse 4, as the streams in the south. He says, Lord, provide for us in a way, restore our captivity in a way that it's like the streams in the south. You see, God provides for us suddenly in our lives at times. That at times in our lives, he's speaking of a place called the Negev. Okay, in the Jewish Jerusalem landscape, this place in the south was this very parched desert land. That seasonally and suddenly at times, what happens is the rain would come down and this dry parched gorge, if you will, would be filled. The Negev was also the place that in the book of Psalm 23 was described as the valley of the shadow of the death. This was a place that you didn't want to go just for a stroll. It was a place that was dry, a place that was parched. But however, at times suddenly the rain would come and this place would fill to its brim. and it would become a river, a rushing river, if you will. So this psalmist is saying, Lord, restore our captivity in a way that only you can do it. Restore our captivity in a way as the streams in Jerusalem. Lord, bring to upon my life in a way that only you can do it. Notice he's going back to the top of his verse that the Lord does something in your life that you celebrate and others see it, then you give thanks for it, but we don't stop there as Christians. Someone once put it this way, that the Christian life is a life in the rearview mirror. Ever tried driving with your eyes fixed on a rearview mirror? I don't suggest it at all. But one thing you notice as you drive forward, the reason you look in your rearview mirror is so you can see what's behind you. That the Christian life is this motion constantly going forward, yet you're looking backwards to consider what the Lord has done in your life. That the impossibility that he's brought, the miracles he has brought upon your life, that each new day that he's given you, each breath that you take, each time you wake from your slumber is a work of God that you can face today with that intention. That you can look ahead with confidence that the Lord can do it again. That as you celebrate the thanksgivings, the goodness that he's given to you in your life, you can be assured that God has the capability and the possibility and the willingness to do it again. So may we look ahead with confidence that God can do it again. God provides for it not only suddenly, but also seasonally. Verse 5 reads, those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shout. He who gives to and fro, he who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. You see, the psalmist continues being reminded that even though he may be sowing in tears, this is a farming analogy, that as he plants the seeds in tears, he can rest assured that God will bring a harvest. Ever thought about the miracle of growth? You know, for most of us, we go to the store and it's always stocked. You buy a stalk of celery, you buy a thing of carrots, you buy a thing of spinach. It's there already. You're not digging it up from the ground, nor are you planting it. But the farmer only has so much control over that instant of sowing the seeds. He plants it in the ground, and it grows miraculously. In their day and age, in the psalmist's time, there was no irrigation, there was no running water, there was no turn on the faucet or the sprinkler. He was literally at the mercies of God's hands. That if the seed was to grow, he needed the rain that God would bring, that the sun that he would bring out the next day, that the winds would be right, that the bees would pollinate, that the sprout would sustain. God provides for us seasonally as well. And some of us here, this Thanksgiving season is a hard one. It might be a first holiday you spend without a loved one. One that you spend maybe without a job. Maybe you spend this Thanksgiving season in something that's extremely difficult in your life. But may you rest assured that God would bring a harvest in your life. That God would bless you as you stay faithful to him. That though you may be sowing your seeds in tears, that joyful shouts are coming. That though you go to and fro, he expands this in verse 6, you may be pacing back and forth with your bag of seeds trying to make much of the faith that you have or whatever's left of it. But you can be rest assured that you may go out sowing seeds in tears, that God would bring you back with joyful shouts, that he would bless you with sheaves of wheat. I acknowledge that some of us don't know what sheaves are. I didn't know what a sheave was. I looked it up, and I didn't realize it was the technical term for a bundle of wheat. But that's what it is. So for those who are wondering, why am I celebrating about sheaves? That's what sheaves are, right? It's the thing of wheat that you bring in. If you ever go to, I mean, I don't know if you drive through Middle America ever, but if you ever drive through Middle America, you'll notice the fields as they're harvested, there'll be piles and piles of wheat, of the crop. And what is the psalmist is saying that though you may have a seed this small, you can plant it in tears, God will bring about in your life blessings upon you. But notice this, he won't stop there. May I challenge you that as he gets his sheaves, gets what he's about to do. He's going back to verse 1. He's going to say, when the Lord brought back the captive ones in Zion, we were like those who were dreaming. And you end up in this cycle of thanksgiving and receiving from the hand of God. that God provides for us not only suddenly in our lives, but he provides for us seasonally. That he can bring your joy, that he can bring your sorrow to joy, that he can bring your seeds to sheaves, that he can bring your weeping to cheering, that he can bring you from a sinner's state to a saint. That he can bless you in a way that he can do impossible things in your life if you place your trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. That God can turn your sorrows into joy, that God can even place you in a bad situation and yet you can have the assurance that God can do it. Hope in God that can turn impossible situations to possible ones. Trust that God with whatever little you may have. Because you see, in the psalmist's life, the seed he could have used to make bread or to eat it, he could do other things with it. And some of us, our faith is at that point right now. That it's hard for you to trust that God will provide again. That it's hard that you can think you can get over this grief that you have. That it may be hard that you can get over whatever turmoil you're in. But may you trust that God would be able to turn your seed into sheaves. That the God of the impossible, the God of our Bible, that the God that we place faith in, sent his son to die upon the cross because he is the God of the impossible. That God seeks to restore you and I, that God is willing to restore you and I. So not only look back and consider what God has done, but may you look forward and have confidence that he can do it again. That someone once put it this way, if you bring up the quote. He said, the portrait of the faithful in Scripture is not a portrait of the fulfilled. What defines them is hope. What defines them is yearning, knowing in their bones, in spite of loss or sorrow or aloneness, that there is something more, something else, something better. That fulfillment is heaven's business. May we have a longing in our hearts that we have hope that God can do something in our lives. That the portrait of the faithful, if we want to be faithful people, it's not that we pray to God to fulfill us and our needs, but that we are hopeful in him. That to the core of your bone and to the center of your heart, you will know that in spite of loss and sorrow and aloneness, that there is something greater, that something better, that something else that is out there. That the Lord Jesus Christ can bring something upon your life that you can't do for yourself. That this life is not it, that there is a next life, that there is hope beyond eternity. That you would spend eternity with Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Maker, our Creator. That this Thanksgiving, as you celebrate the abundance around your table, as you give to the food drive in thanksgiving for the abundance in your life, as you give in thanksgiving to God, may you see that it is God who has blessed us. Martin Luther once said this way, that the milkmaid may milk the cows and the servant may sweep the floor, but it is God who blesses us with all things. That may you know that the actual hand that provides for you is God. Not the money that you make, not the store that you visit, not the things you paid for, but is God that blesses us with an abundance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Let's stand together. We'll sing this with some conviction, all right? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, a purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. May you give thanks in a way that others would see God. Amen.